Let's go ahead and look at Romans 4:23 on your sheet. Romans 4:23. Romans 4:23. It says there, everybody there? It's on the on your sheet as well and on the screen. It says, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. It's talking about Abraham. But also for us, it shall be imputed to us. It is righteousness. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who was who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Verse 24 says, it shall be imputed to us, that's righteousness, shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Look at that in the Amplified Bible on your sheet there. In the Amplified, it says, righteousness, standing acceptable to God, will be granted and credited to us also who believe in, trust in, adhere to, and rely on God, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was betrayed and put to death because of our misdeeds and was raised to secure our justification, our acquittal, making our account balance and absolving us from all guilt before God. So look at the beginning of that. It says righteousness, or standing acceptable to God, will be granted and credited to us also who believe in God, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. So it says righteousness will be accredited to those that believe on him. To believe what? To believe on God who raised Jesus from the dead. That's what we're talking about today. Verse 25, who was betrayed and put to death because of our misdeeds and was raised to secure our justification, our acquittal, making our account balance and absolving us from all guilt before God. Now we're going to get into this a little bit. What does that mean? Why did we need to be acquitted? What does it mean to be justified? What is the righteousness? We're just going to go over a few scriptures. What did we need to be saved from? And what happened? 1 Peter 1, 3, just look on your sheet there, and they'll put it up as well. Blessed be the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. See, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So there's a hope we have because of what Jesus did, because he died, was buried, and he rose from the dead. And because of that, we have a hope. Now look at Romans 5, verse 12. Romans 5, 12. It says, therefore, just as one man, as through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. See, death entered through sin. And thus death spread to all men because all sinned, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is the type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense, for if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. So Adam was created. Look real quickly on your sheet there. It's Genesis 1:26. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. But back in Romans, where we were just reading, it says, through one man, sin entered the world. Well, who's that one man? Adam. God created men. He created Adam. He created Eve, and it says here he gave him dominion over the whole world. But Adam sinned, and death came into the world through sin. Can you put up Romans 5:12 where we just were? You can look at it on your sheet too. Death came in through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. But Jesus came that we could come back into fellowship with God. He came so that we could be justified. If you skip down to verse 16. Now we're going to fill some of this in. We're just kind of getting going here. A few background scriptures. Verse 16. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So we were created at mankind were created in this world, and they yielded to Satan, who is called the god of this world. In a later part, we'll read 2 Corinthians 4:4. And because of that, men died spiritually, were separated from God. And because they were separated from God, they needed a way back into fellowship with God. They needed a sacrifice. There was nothing men could do to get themselves under the dominion of Satan back into the household of God. This is not a cosmic game. Like some people talk about, well, you know, God somehow set it up like this, and just you have to jump through these hoops, and then you can, you know, get a high enough mark, and then you can become saved. Like God set it up. No, we're talking about God taking back the family, His creation, and bringing them into His family because they were no longer. He created Adam, but Adam sold out. Adam, the Bible says in Romans, what we just read, that through that sin, it spread to all men. In other words, because of what Adam did, mankind were sold into slavery. Satan owned and does own mankind. apart from the saving grace and apart from what Jesus did. Look at John 1. John 1, verse 1. John 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." See, the world became dark. Not the way God created it, but it was darkened because of sin. We just read in Romans. The destruction that we see in the world is not God's will. God does not create hurricanes and tornadoes. The Bible, even, you know, to this day, insurance policies will call those acts of God. We live in a fallen world. And it is dark. But God sent His Savior into this world. And you'll see why right here. But see, the light shines in the darkness. Notice, the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 6, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John," John the Baptist. "This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to everyone, every man coming into the world." Verse 10, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him." Jesus was sent into the world. The world was made through Jesus. Jesus is the Word. He was the one with the Father at the beginning, but the world did not know him. He came in the form of a man, as a baby. He had to grow up physically. And the world did not know him. In fact, the people that did know him, when he started stepping into his ministry, they said, "Who is this? This is Joseph's son, the carpenter." And they did not esteem him because they're like, "This is the neighbor. Who does he think he is?" The world did not know him. The darkness that's in the world, it rejected the light that had come in. "He was in the world," verse 10, "and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him." Verse 11, "He came to his own, and his own did not receive him." Verse 12, "But as many as received him," notice this, "to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Notice that. Verse 12, "As many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God." Before that, they're in darkness. Without Jesus, there is darkness. And notice, he gave him the right to become children of God. What does that mean? They're not prior. To become children of God. To those who what? Believe in His name. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Look on your sheet, verse 12 there in the Amplified Classic. It says, "But to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority, the power, the privilege, the right to become children of God." That is, to those who believe in to adhere in, trust in, and rely on His name. See, Adam was created and brought into this world. He sinned. He bowed his knee to Satan. The earth was in darkness. And God had to send Jesus to get to make the way so that people could come into His family. And that's why Jesus was sent. What we just read, He came, was made flesh, and all those that believe in Him were given the authority to become children of God. Now look at Romans 8, 29. It says, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Notice that. God's Son is Jesus, but His will is that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren, brothers. Well, if God's Son is Jesus, and those are His brothers, what does that make them? God is their Father, right? Let's look at it again. "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be me the firstborn among many brethren." Verse 30, "Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also," what? "Justified. Whom He justified, He also glorified." Justified means to be, like we saw earlier, to be acquitted, to be declared righteous. So those that He has called, He would want us to be children of God, brothers and sisters of Jesus, the Christ. And those who He predestined, now this doesn't mean, go back, we'll just touch on this just real quick. Verse 29, it says, "For He whom He foreknew, He also," we touched on this a few weeks ago, "for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." Do you know God knows everyone that's going to believe on Him? Whether they are today or not? He knows. Now, He doesn't force them to do it. And that doesn't mean He predetermined who was going to believe on Him. That would contradict other scriptures, some of which we'll read. He gave everybody a free will, yet He knows in His infinite knowledge who will do it, and because He knows, He's predestined them to be conformed to His image. It'd be like this. You gave an opportunity for a bunch of people to sign up for, you know, let's say a all-expense-paid-for vacation to Hawaii or something, and you would think everybody would want to sign up. But you know, let's say you knew who was going to sign up. And so you had already prepared all the travel arrangements, everything that they're going to need for the ones that you know who is going to sign up, but you gave everybody the free will to sign up or not. That's exactly what happened. God knows who's going to sign up. You would think everybody would jump at the chance, but that's not true. Not everybody will receive Jesus. But God knows who they'll be. And because He knows who they'll be, He's already predestined, He's already planned for them to be conformed to the image of His Son. That they might be firstborn among many brethren. It says, "Moreover, whom He predestined," those He's prepared that path, He's destined. Do you realize if when we serve God, He's already got a destiny for us? The Bible says in Psalm 139 that the days, all our days are written in a book. You know He knows. He's got a plan. And you know He's got a backup plan. And He's got a backup plan. You know, if He's got a perfect will, that if we'll walk in it, you don't have to do everything perfect. if you'll walk and your heart is right after him, then even if you missed it, he can still work with it. And if you missed it, he can work with it. You know what the key is? We just keep looking after him. But he knows, and he's got a plan for everybody. Verse 30, moreover, whom he predestined, he also called. Whom he called, these he also, what? He justified them. He declared them righteous. It's the same term. To be justified is to be declared righteous. To be righteous is to be justified. That means we're right with him. Why? Because we believed on him. Look at Galatians 3:26. It says, for you are all sons of God, how? Through faith in Christ Jesus. That's how we became sons and daughters. It's a generic term. Through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ, that means to dunk in, that's not literally baptized, that's not water baptism. There are multiple baptisms in the Bible. Water baptism does not save you. It's a symbol, it's an outward symbol of an inward truth. To baptize literally means to dunk. When you're baptized into Christ Jesus, you are in him. He is in you. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. There is no, notice it says no Jew, no Greek, that means there's no race, there's no slave or free, no social status, there's neither male nor female, no gender, it is just being by faith in him. How do we become sons of God? Through faith in Jesus. Now we said we're being saved from something. We're becoming sons, but prior we're in darkness. We're in the kingdom of darkness. Whether we knew it or not, which obviously we didn't. Before you become born again, we're lost. We're blinded. But look in your sheet there, 2 Corinthians 4 says this. Verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Notice that. Mankind are perishing. This is not a game. Verse 4, what? Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest, notice this, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. See, it says the minds that the God of this age, referring to Satan, has blinded, who do not believe. See, you become a son of God. You have authority to become a son of God as you believe. We read in John, we just read in Galatians 3:26, it's through faith in him. But the light of the gospel, the good news, the glory of Christ, as it shines in, that's what causes the clarity. The light shines. Verse 4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Hebrews 2, verse 14. It says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death, Jesus, that he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. Satan has power over the world. He has power over mankind, except those who believe on Jesus. Let's read that again, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. It's saying mankind had flesh and blood. God had to have flesh and blood and came as a man so that he could pave the way and pay the price. That through death he might destroy him, break him up, jackhammer. That word means to jackhammer, break up the power of death. That is the devil. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Notice that. Jesus came to release those who were in bondage, all their lifetime subject to bondage, to break up the power of the enemy, what? So that they could get out. 1 John 3:8 says similar, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Why did Jesus come? Why did the Son of God was manifest? To destroy the works of the one who had the world in bondage. To come and break it up. To push it away. To make it so that people could receive and have a way. See, there was no way. People had to look forward to the gospel. Those previous, they had to look forward to the promise by faith. Now we look back at the cross, back at the resurrection. People previous had to look forward and had to, they had a promissory note on it. If they would believe the Messiah, the Savior was coming. Now it's finished. And we look back. Turn over to Colossians 1, verse 9 with me. Colossians 1, verse 9. Colossians 1, verse 9, it's on your sheet. The screen as well. It says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Verse 11, "Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. For all patience and long-suffering with joy." Verse 12, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." The Father qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Verse 13, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness." Notice that. The power of darkness had a hold. He's conveyed us. It says, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love." What does that mean? We weren't there before. We were in the power of darkness. But we've been conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We were slaves. We were bound. The world right now is bound. Without Jesus is bound, owned in a different family. But God has made a way through Jesus for us to become His son and His daughter. The Bible said when we read in John 1 that it gave us the authority for those that believe on His name. The right, the privilege to come out of the power of darkness, because the Bible says through Adam's sin and through everyone, the Bible says in Romans 3, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. Can you put up Romans 3, 23 on the screen. We'll come back to this one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. What does all mean? All. All have fallen, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone is in that same boat and needs a Savior to be able to come into the family of God. Now, can you go back over to Colossians where we were? Verse 13 is good. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. It's for what He did when we believed on Him. That was the payment. See, He came and ransomed all of mankind. Gave them the power and the authority that if they'll believe on Him, can be transferred out of bondage, out of the kingdom of Satan, into the kingdom of the Son of His love, into God's kingdom. Look on your sheet, Romans 8:14. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. Notice that. We've been adopted. All mankind can be adopted into the family of God through believing on Jesus. By whom we cry out, Abba, Father, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Romans 10:8. Romans 10:8, it says, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. All this, what we've read, is we've seen that if you believe on Him, we have authority to become sons of God. This is telling us exactly how that happens. It says that if you confess, that means declare, the word, the declare or confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, what? That God has raised Him from the dead. Where we started, we said He, in Romans 5, it says that He was raised for our justification. He was raised for our acquittal. So what do we need to believe? That He was raised. Because that's how we become acquitted. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, it didn't say that you work your way there. It didn't say that you go to church every Sunday. It didn't say that you read your Bible every day. It didn't say that you pray a bunch of prayers specifically, and that's how you're saved. No, this is not about getting a mark with God. This is about believing what He already did to get us out of the kingdom of darkness where we're held. It's not about getting to a mark with God. It's about receiving what He did to get us out of the realm of darkness. See, religion has twisted it and made it somehow we're just trying to get there with God, and if he'd receive us, he did the heavy lifting. He already took care of that part. You're not trying to get him to accept you. You're accepting what he did to get you out of darkness. See, the former is religion. Tries to make you have a checklist. The gospel is he did it. There's a real danger. This is not, again, a cosmic game where somehow it's like a classroom where let's see how good you can be, and if you measure up, God will accept you. No, God, he paid the price to rescue you out of something that people don't even know they're bound by. Darkness. This is not, let's see how good you can be. This is, you can't do anything about it. You're a hostage. You're a slave. And God came and said, I paid the price. Now believe me and I'll get you out. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, does that mean we throw away being good and everything? No, that's after we've come into the family. We say, God, I'm so happy for what you did. Now, what can I do to help out? I don't want to mess with anything that you told me not to do. I don't want any of that junk that I just got rescued from. That'd be like you got rescued out of a bad family situation. You got sold into some, you know, bad thing when you were growing up, and somebody came and adopted you out of that and got you to where you were away from that and you were in a good family. You don't want to go back and mess with the other family. You're so glad you got away. You're like, I don't want anything to do with it. Now, what can I do to help out around here? How'd you show me? I'm so thankful you got me out of that mess. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Let's read it again, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you may be saved if God feels like it. See, when you understand what happened, it's not about you measuring up. It's just, hey, the contract's signed. Do you want to get your name on it? It's if you receive what he did. When you know this, there's no doubt. We do what God said. He doesn't lie. It's done. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord, the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. And for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God.